Chesterfields are much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. They satisfy millions.
Folks, and take hello. We're here to start the coffee show. There's lots of laughs and plenty of fun, so settle back with a milder one.
Sound off.
Sound off.
Sound off.
Sound off.
Sound off.
Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Jud Collins and the Bears, and Bing's guests, Mr. Humphrey Bogart and Miss Lauren Bacall. Now,
really?
Yes, really.
Surprised to me.
Really? Haven't seen him at all.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, with St. Patrick's Day just a few days away, we'd like to present a man who wears the green and sings with a groan, Bing O'Crosby.
Hey, hey, hey. You're right. St. Patrick's Day will soon be upon us. I tell you, we used to have some real St. Patrick's Day parties when I was a kid up in Spokane.
Really? What'd you do at the party?
Oh, we'd all gather over at somebody's house, push back the furniture, roll back the rugs, and fight.
Sounds jolly. Well, Bing, there are lots of St. Patrick's Day parties right here in Hollywood. Doesn't Pat O'Brien throw a big party every year?
Oh, he throws a wing ding, I want to tell you. The whole mob gets together at O'Brien, Frank McHugh, Bill Gargan, Dave Butler, Jimmy Caney, Leo McCary, Leo Fitzgerald, Jack O'Malvany, and Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio? I thought the party was just for the Irish. How'd he get in there?
Oh, he makes wonderful meatballs.
Bing, tell me more about Pat O'Brien's affair. What time does the St. Pat's party usually break up?
But I'll give you a rough idea, Ken. Last year, when I left O'Brien's house after the party, I passed a vacant lot, and I saw a fella putting up a fireworks stand. Well, Ken, we've sort of been talking along the Irish vein. I think it might be a good time to spring a new Irish tune. This was written by Mr. Preston Foster, eminent actor of his films. You've played with him, I'm sure.
Yes.
And Terry Bodkin, our guitar player, wrote the melody. It's called Two Shillelagh O'Sullivan. This is Irish with sort of a Western decor.
John O. Scott, are you ready?
Ah, here is the mighty man. Listen to what I'm telling you now. Mighty, mighty man.
There's many a man who rode a horse across the western plain. There's never been one like the Irishman. O'Sullivan was his name. He never packed his shoes and iron. The need he never felt. But two shillelaghs always there. Hanging on his belt.
Oh, yippee-ki-yo,
yippee-ki-yo, and yippee-ki-yo.
Two shillelaghs, O'Sullivan, he'll give any man a go.
Oh, the shillelaghs. Of course, you know what we call it, don't you? The Tipperary rifle. You never have to reload it.
The Bronco Buster Irishman from the part of Erin Isle was after living peaceful like he always wore a smile. But when the smile was leaving him, in a fight he'd come unwound. That left any cloth in him, and they'd wind up on the ground.
Oh, yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yo,
because of the yippee-ki-yo.
To Shillelagh O'Sullivan, he'll give any man a go.
Why, he was so strong, O'Sullivan, he could put his right hand in his own left hip pocket and he could hold himself out at arm's length.
No man can do that.
It's O'Sullivan I'm talking about.
Oh, well, he could.
Now go on, Jack, and sit down.
Across the ring from morn to night, he rode for days and days. A fixing fences here and there and a picking up the stray. But cattle spread he really built as big as Ireland, where he could range a million heads in a shamrock to be his friend.
Oh, yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yo,
big order and yippee-ki-yo.
Now, if you're ever riding through the sagebrush wilderness and you suddenly come upon acres and acres of shamrock sprinkled with stardust, ready you'll be after knowing that you've just arrived at the O'Sullivan Press, known as the Lazy Leprechaun. Stop in, won't you? Mm-hmm. Have a cup of tea. Tequila, that is.
Yeah.
off. Yes, the mask is off in cigarette advertising. Chesterfield is the first to name all its ingredients. And here they are.
Chesterfield uses the right combination of the world's best tobaccos, pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities, and kept tasty and fresh for the only tried and tested moistening agents, proved by over 40 years of continuous use in USA tobacco products as entirely safe for use in the mouth. Pure natural sugars and chemically pure, harmless, and far more costly glycerol. Nothing else. You can be glad if you smoke Chesterfield, because they give you every advantage known to modern science.
For you, this means that Chesterfields are much milder with an extraordinarily good taste. And no unpleasant aftertaste, all for your smoking pleasure and protection. They satisfy millions. A little earlier in the program, we made an announcement which was received with more than the usual enthusiasm when we indicated that our guests for this evening were going to be Mr. Humphrey Bogart and Miss Lorraine Bacall. That's the attractive couple who paid us a visit just 1 month ago, I believe. I'm happy now to report the arrival of the first of our guests. Here, ladies and gentlemen, then, is the very charming actress, the very charming, delightful lady, Miss Lorraine Bacall.
Hello, Bing.
You're very nice to visit us again, Lorraine.
Now, Bing, let's not be formal.
Formal?
I thought we agreed the last time I was here that you'd call me by my nickname.
Well,
why can't you call me Baby?
I intended to call you Baby, but I always forget.
But why?
Well, I guess because I'm just not used to girl babies. Well, I'll never understand it. But tell me, Baby.
Yeah, you said it.
Uh-huh. You did it. To get away with it. Tell me, Baby, how's Humphrey getting along now?
Oh, not so good.
What's the matter with
Bing,
Baby?
You should never have let him sing on your program last month.
Well, what happened?
Well, he now firmly believes that he's America's next great quitter.
Well, it's an open field.
Well, in an open field, he doesn't sound bad. Oh, but in the house, it's awful.
Why, you're not serious. I can't believe that this boy thinks he's got a voice. Is it, huh?
Yeah, and every night he insists on going into the nursery and singing Little Stevie to sleep.
Does the baby like it?
No, I don't think so. When Bogey is singing, he curls up into a ball and sticks the end of his diapers in his ears.
See, you've got a serious problem. Outside of it annoying the baby, what other singing does Bogey do?
Well, he always sings in the shower.
You've lost him. He's gone.
He spends hours in there. He's so silly. He rubs soap in his eyes on purpose.
Why?
So we can cry like Johnny Ray.
You do that with soap, huh? I tried everything. I couldn't get it.
Bing, stay as sweet as you are.
Thank you. The same to you.
Bing, you just got to talk Bogey out of this idea that he's a singer. Here he comes now.
Oh, yes, folks, here's Humphrey Bogart. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, Baby.
Hello, Baby.
Hi, Bogey. Oh, here, boy. Hold my music. What are you singing? John Peel or something? Hold your music. What for? What for? What for? What's the matter, Crosby? You afraid of a little new blood?
Oh?
Did you get some new blood? Now, you know what I mean.
No, just asking. I thought I might get some for myself.
Well, don't tell me your troubles.
Why don't you just be your sweet, charming self and forget about being a singer?
Yeah, but I just started.
Let me tell you something, Bogey. It just could be, you know, that you're a little too old to start singing.
It just could be that you're old enough to stop singing.
Say, you know something? You could be a reconditioned singer. I see a lot of them advertised on television with new bobbins and everything. You're old.
He needs more than bobbins.
Hey, what is this? My own wife.
Now, let's get this straight once and for all. Bing is my favorite singer, and you're my favorite husband.
You're still playing his record of Mule Train. Even the mules gave up on that.
Well, I'm not giving up.
Yeah? Let me tell you something. Arthur Godfrey wants me on his talent scout program, but I can't get anyone to be my talent scout. Why don't you try the Boy Scouts of America? They're cooperative. Your display of jealousy is boring me. Pardon me while I spray my throat.
Oh, get this. He's got an atomizer yet.
Yeah, not bad. It's a good spray, huh?
It ought to be. That's the only atomizer I ever saw with an olive in it.
Oh, man.
How I wish I had a spray like that when I was singing at the Coconut Grove in the old days, huh?
Didn't you?
That's what I hear.
You know, Bing, show business is funny. When I was a guest on your program before, I thought it was going to be just another radio guest shot. But I sang, and suddenly it hit me. Singing is my racket. It opened up an entire new field for me.
Understand you're not bad out in the field, is it? You know, I think it's hardly fair to your public to see your admirers. You could stand here and talk about your singing. I think it'd be very nice that if you're serious about it, just sing a number for the folks. Sing it right now.
Well, I'd be very happy to.
Bing, how could you?
I'm getting tired. I want to get off my seat for a minute. So while I sing, baby, Tulips and Heather, that song Perry Como does so well.
Why don't you sing that corny little sea shanty that you know so well?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, for my first selection, I will sing The Bold Fisherman. A bright, yet compelling song of the sea. There was a bold fisherman that sailed from off Billingsgate to catch the bold figgies and the gay mackerel. But when he got off in the cold, the wine did begin to blow, and the little boat wibble wobble so that overboard went he, singing. Wink-dee-dee-dum, wink-dee-dee-dee. A highly interesting song that he sung. Wink-dee-dee-dee-dee, bold fisherman. Wink-dee-dee-dee-dee, was the highly interesting song that he sung.
Terrific.
Bogey,
great.
Bing, think what you're doing.
I'm not kidding, baby. His voice grows on a fella.
Like a vine.
It's a little creepy. Never mind my singing. Let's talk about the African Queen for a while.
Bogey, it's no trouble at all to talk about the African Queen because it's a wonderful picture.
Great color.
You and Katharine Hepburn, I understand, are up for Academy Awards as a result of this picture.
Well, I hope Hepburn wins an Oscar. I sent her a little mahogany shelf to put it on.
Well, that was a very, very nice gesture. Very nice of you to send her the shelf.
Well, he bought, too.
I got mine to... I got mine to put my metronome on.
Hey, you know, there was one scene in The African Queen that really killed me. The scene where you had the whips and jingles, you know, the hangover?
Mm-hmm.
And Hepburn took all your gin and poured it in the river.
You just plumped the deck of the boat and you did nothing about it. That, I believe, was the greatest test of my acting career. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to present a radio version of The African Queen. Miss Lorraine Bacall will play the part of Rose Thayer. The prim English lady is portrayed on the screen by Miss Chester Temperance. I will play the part of Sally Allnut, the rough riverboat captain, sailor, and jack of all trades. May I ask a question?
Shoot.
I'd like to shoot, but I'll just ask the question. What part do I play in this impending clambake?
We have made elaborate plans for you, Bogey. We've got that all straightened out. You're going to narrate the story.
We straightened it out.
Mm-hmm. Baby and me.
And Bogey makes three.
That's right.
Okay, I'll narrate it, but watch out.
We can take it. You just go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present a radio version of The African Queen. The part of the girl in the picture was played by Miss Katharine Hepburn, one of our foremost actresses. Tonight, we'll be played by Miss Lauren Bacall, a housewife.
Wait till we get home.
In the picture, the part of the man was played by Mr. Humphrey Bogart, who is famous for his dramatic role. Tonight, it will be played by Mr. Bing Crosby,
A cigarette salesman. This cannot possibly help the picture.
Now, don't make faces. Come on.
The play which we now present deals with the perilous journey of a man and a woman cruising down the treacherous Ulanga River in Africa in a 30-foot launch to sink the German gunboat Königin Luise.
Only tonight we're not going to sink the German gunboat.
Now, what are you going to sink?
We're going to sink the shrimp boat.
Well, I can't knock that. Now, we now take you to Africa. Theme music, please. Play opens, we find Mr. Crosby and Miss McCall sitting on Mr. Crosby's launch discussing their perilous trip down the river.
I don't care if you want to sink the shrimp boats or not, ma'am. I've been thinking it over, and it's impossible.
This is a treacherous, winding, tricky river full of rocks and rapids and cataracts and waterfalls. We'd never make it down to the lake. Why, this little boat would be dashed to pieces before we knew it.
I'd like to help you, ma'am, but what you ask is out of the question. It'd be plain suicide to attempt this journey, so forget about sinking them shrimp boats. We're not even going to try it.
Oh, come on, baby. Do it to me.
Okay, here we go.
And thus, with that hokey beginning, commences the journey of the African Queen. As the boat chugs down the river along the edge of the dense jungle, we see and hear many wild animals. Lions. Elephants.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bob Fancy Pants.
Baboon! I'd like to capture that specimen. He's got the longest arms I've ever seen.
Ahead is a tremendous cataract, a waterfall which takes a sheer drop of 75 feet into a boiling chasm below.
There's a bad waterfall up about a mile ahead, ma'am.
I may bounce out of the boat. Put your arms around me.
Okay, baby. I got you.
Fighter.
Hey, where'll you get there? Break it up.
What's the matter, baby?
This is a river in Africa, not the Tunnel of Love.
This man has an appalling lack of dramatic appreciation.
Hear that, ma'am? You hear it? Hear them savages singing on them shrimp boats?
It's blood curdling.
Ma'am, I'll just take this old oxygen cylinder here and make a torpedo. Let's see now, how did old Bogey do that in the picture?
Hey, look out for that stuff.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just put this detonator on here and I'll tap stop on. Not going on.
I'll tap it a little harder.
Harder?
This version of the African Queen.
I think the sound man's got the bend. Take him out. We're not through with this thing yet.
What do you mean?
Well, baby and I haven't sung our song yet. We're going to do a duet in the sketch, won't we?
Yeah, let's do it now, babe.
Certainly. The duet was a punch to the whole sketch. You're kind of blow it.
It's a nice old number. I don't know why.
And you're singing it with a nice old number, too.
You're nice yourself.
Let's go, then. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, I just do.
I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why, you just do.
You never seem to want my romancing.
The only time you hold me is when we're dancing.
I don't know why I love you like I do.
I don't know why, I just do. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, I just do.
I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why, but you do.
You never seem to want my romancing.
Why, the only time you hold me is when we're dancing.
I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do.
The mask is off. Yes, the mask is off in cigarette advertising. Chesterfield is the first to name all its ingredients.
And Chesterfield gives you every advantage known to modern science, supervised by experts in the most modern research laboratories. And Chesterfields are made by experts in the most modern cigarette factories. Outside independent consultants include scientists from leading universities.
For you, this means that Chesterfields are much milder with an extraordinarily good taste. And no unpleasant aftertaste, all for your smoking pleasure and protection. Sound off the Chesterfield and do it today.
Much milder with a better taste, and no unpleasant aftertaste. Chesterfield's the one to buy. Millions say they satisfy. Sound off the Chesterfield. Sound off the Chesterfield. Try your pack of Chesterfields and do it today.
Seems destined to emerge in the 1951-52 season as the outstanding ballad.
Talk to her, please, Mr. Sun. Speak to her, Mr. Rainbow, and take her under your branches. Mr. Tree, whisper to her, Mr. Wind, sing to her, Mr. Robin, and Mr. Moonlight, put in a word. It should never be quit. Since you are all her friends, she'll listen to whatever you have to say. Babble to her, Mr. Bush. Kiss her for me. And watch to see they all do. He's Mr. Sun.
I would like to present a young lady to you, Miss Loretta North of Sydney, Australia. Miss North has been brought over here by 20th Century Fox in the interest of their picture. picture titled Kangaroo. Would you take about his Miss Thorpe, right here?
Thank you.
Loretta, I understand that you were selected from among 80,000 girls in Australia in the Miss Kangaroo contest there, is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Bing, I'd like to present you with this scroll from the Youth Association from Australia.
Hey, this is quite an unusual item. Youth Association of Australia has honored the name.
Mm-hmm. More than 500,000 members of the Australian Youth Association have selected you as our favorite singer.
Well, thank you. See, baby, in order to get anywhere, you have to be a singer.
And Mr. Crosby, yeah. Here's something else for
that
you. Yes,
what?
A real live baby kangaroo from Australia.
No, wait a minute.
Say, isn't he a cute little fella? Get him out here.
Gee, I'd like to have a kangaroo.
Panda man, remember?
Hey, isn't this something? This should be a hit around the house.
Well, Loretta, I want to thank you very, very much. This is a wonderful thing. I appreciate it. Thanks also to my friends in Australia. And Bogey, well, baby, what do you say we ankle over to the Brown Derby, huh?
Well, what for?
Well, your atomizer's empty.
Oh, yeah,
it is. Well, let's go, Bing.
Okay.
Who's going to be with you next week?
Oh, next week, Lauren, we broadcast from Palm Springs, California. Our guest is going to be Mr. Jimmy Stewart.
See you next week, then, folks. And meanwhile, remember, Chesterfields are much milder with an extraordinarily good taste. And from the report of a well-known research organization, Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. They satisfy and visit. Good night, folks, and thank you very, very much.
Chesterfield was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Jimmy Stewart. Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall can be heard weekly on their own radio program, The Bold Venture.